$11,000 and you're 17 years old in high school doing this on your lunch break.
This is game-changing information guaranteed to raise your real estate wholesaling business with actionable steps you can take immediately to navigate the ins and outs of wholesaling and start making money today. Join us as we put our guests in the hot seat and dive deep to dissect their strategies for success to enable you to duplicate their results. You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., the only show dedicated to making you a fortune in wholesaling.
All right, guys, I am here today with one of my students, Johan Dammert, and he is 17 years old, and he just got his first wholesale deal this week. In fact, it was just a day or two ago that he got paid. I got him on, and I think we can all learn a lot from Johan. He is crushing the game. Absolutely. Just got his first deal. We got to ring that victory bell for Johan. Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. So, Johan, welcome. Tell us about this deal. And congrats, my man. I'm so happy for you. The first deal is always the hardest.
Yeah. So this deal was from the marketing channel. So I used batch leads to send messages. I normally send out like 500, 1,000 messages a day. And this property was about 20 minutes away from my house. So
now where are you located at?
Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Okay. And you're in high school, right?
Yeah.
And were you sending these text messages while you were in school? Were you doing it nights and weekends? Were you doing it in the evening? When were you sending these messages out?
So I send these messages on my lunch break. So I would just have them auto-click and then just keep on sending like 500.
You're in high school and you're doing this on your lunch break. So anybody that's listening right now that says, I can't find the time. We got a high school guy here doing deals, yeah, and he's sending text messages on his lunch break. Johan, you are an inspiration to everyone,
Thank you, my friend.
This is awesome. Okay, so I didn't mean to interrupt. You're sending text on your lunch break. And by the way, Johan has been working with me for a couple months now, and we've been working really hard to get him his first deal. And boom, he just nailed it today. So this is great. So you're texting. Who were you texting? How did you find the leads in the list? What were you doing to get that?
So I use PropStream, and then with PropStream, I use some certain filters. So I filtered out some people, like distressed landlords. I think it was Tower Landlords, that list. So that
you marketed the multiple lists.
Yeah, I also marketed the multiple lists. That list, the property that I texted, she wasn't interested in selling that one, but she said, hey, I have another property. What would you offer for this one? So then I get her on the phone and then give her an offer. She liked the offer, but then she was like, I'm not ready to sell. The tenant there has been there forever and I don't want her to move. She was an old lady, the tenant. She was paying very under market rent. The market rent was about $2,000 and then she was paying $1,100. So
holy cow, way under market. So this is a lead from a tired landlord and you sent her a message about a different property. And she said, hey, I don't necessarily want to sell the one that you reached out to me about, but I have this other one.
Yeah.
That's the case. Okay. And the market rent was, she was basically charging almost half, basically half of what the market rent was.
Yeah. The market rent was like anywhere from $1,500 to $2,000 on the higher end. But yeah.
God. And she was paying $1,100. Okay. So when did this happen? You first made contact with her when?
Like December.
December. Like
around December.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you make her an offer in December?
Yeah, I gave her an offer. I'm pretty sure she accepted that offer. It was maybe like $110K. And then I called her like a month later and she said that she was still talking to the tenant and the tenant wasn't ready to move. The tenant had a lease. So she's not leaving till October. She's still in the property.
Okay.
But then she finally talked over with the tenant and tried to find the tenant a house. She's a mortgage broker. The seller was a mortgage broker. She was trying to find the tenant a house to move into.
Okay. Okay.
And then, so I just kept following up with her. And then one day she tells me that I forgot it was, I think somewhere in April. So she's remodeling the house. I give her a call. Hey, blah, blah, blah. I offer her $125K. And then she said she accepts. She's like, okay, let's do it. And then
so when you offered her 110, I got to interrupt for a second. When you offered her 110, okay, she was verbally agreeing to that number, but you hadn't had anything signed with her at that point because she was still trying to go back to the tenant to figure things out. It sounds, is that right?
Yeah, she didn't know for sure if she was going to sell or what the situation was.
So she liked that number, but she didn't love it because she didn't sign anything. And then how often were you following up with her?
I believe she told me to call her after the holiday, so I gave her a call. And then she told me that she wasn't looking to sell it, like, soon. So then I followed up with her maybe a month or two after.
Isn't that funny how people want to sell today and then they don't want to sell tomorrow? Isn't that wild how that happens like that?
Yeah.
But you know what? On the flip side, as you learned, they don't want to sell today and then they want to sell tomorrow. So it can flip. It can go both ways. So how often were you following up with her on average between December and today? Today's June 2nd.
Yeah, maybe like, follow up. Maybe I followed up with her 10 times, but we made contact. Like, I would call her back and stuff like that.
Okay.
Maybe like 30 times total.
30 times total. So you touched her 30 different times, and that was either via a phone call or a text message. I want to highlight
this. That's including texts and phone calls. We normally text a lot because she's a younger person.
Sure.
So she's like, we text and stuff.
But over a over a 5 month period, you made 30 different points of contact with her, either via phone calls or text messages. I really want to highlight that because not all deals are going to happen right away. In fact, 80% of deals are going to require follow-up. In fact, probably 90%, really. And you followed up with her for 4 to 5 months, and you made 30 different points of contact. That is what it takes to do deals. So I just really want to highlight that, and I want to commend you for not stopping, not quitting, and being consistent, because it led you to this deal. Oh, by the way, how much did you make on this deal, man?
I made $11,000 on the deal.
$11,000, and you're 17 years old in high school doing this on your lunch break. Wow. Yeah. That is phenomenal. Holy cow. Okay. So tell us more about the deal. So you started in November or December, 30 different follow-ups. You contacted her via text.
Yeah. So I got to say, follow-up is like super important. Like, I was about to not put her into my CRM to call her in the next month because I was thinking like she was not going to sell. But then like I put it in and then I called her again and then she was like feeling pretty motivated. I just hit her because when I called her that second time after she told me she wasn't interested, she told me she rejected an offer for 118K. And then I was like, and then I went on my computer. And then I called her back and said, I can do 125K. And she accepted it super quick. She's like, okay, let's do it. Like, I thought I gave her like a bad deal, like a good deal. So then I redid the numbers and I'm like, this is a pretty good deal. She's pretty motivated.
Yep.
And then.
Okay. So you sent her a contract for 125. Yeah. How long did it take her to sign it?
I think I sent it like sometime in March or April, but then she was getting her bathroom remodeled and that took a month. And then I didn't want to, sign a contract and then sell it to a buyer when the bathroom is getting built because about the inspections and anything that could happen. Like, I don't want to mess myself up. So then I kept just keeping in contact with her. Like, how are you doing? How's the bathroom situation holding up? If you need any help, I can help you with any questions, blah, blah, blah. Like, just being there for her, keeping in touch. Like, she was going to sell it to me. We were just keeping in touch. She told me, like, every week she would tell me it's going to be done by the end of the week. And then I'd call her by the end of the week. And then she would say, oh, it's still not done. The inspector said.
Now, is this the bathroom in the property that you had under contract, or is this a personal bathroom at her house?
The property that I had under contract.
Okay. Wow. So I get it. Why now you were so rolling because you didn't want any of the buyers or the inspectors to raise red flags with this. So you were patient. Again, I commend you, man. You were patient. You followed up. You were consistent. And I think a better word is you were persistent, which is awesome. Okay. So 125, you made her that offer. She agreed, but she didn't sign right away because the bathroom. But you didn't go away. You stuck around. You continued to follow up. You were persistent. And then you said it took about a month, maybe give or take, for her to actually sign this agreement?
She has signed the agreement on April 20th.
Okay.
So I'm pulling up the chat right now, but yeah, it took like maybe a month and a half, 2 months. Because like now with COVID, especially here in South Florida, everything takes forever. Like if you even feel like everything's held back.
Okay, cool. But the lessons here is that you were persistent. You kept following up 30 touches. You made her an offer. She didn't like it. You followed up a month later. You made her another offer. She liked it. She still didn't sign. She was working on her bathroom. You didn't go away. And that's what led you to doing this deal, getting your first one under your belt and making $11,000.
Yeah, that's great.
It was the persistence, man. So cool. So a month and a half goes by. She signs. What happens next?
Okay, so she signs the deal. So I usually hit up this guy, which is a JV. And then he already had a... So
hold on, back up. Who's this guy? How'd you meet him?
So I met him Facebook groups.
Okay, local investor.
He's not super local, but like he's around the area.
Around the area. And you met him in a local Facebook group though, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't like a national group. It was a local
Florida. It was a Florida investor group.
Okay, so that's pretty large if it's the whole state. So you met him in a Facebook group. So what happened? How did you guys connect? How did this joint venture work?
So we connected back in August when I closed like a small deal. It was not really like a deal. He like paid me a little referral fee because I hooked him up with the property.
I remember that.
Because I knew he was reliable and I trusted him. So I sent him that deal. He told me he could get a buyer in there. So then I just immediately sold it to him. I probably could have maybe got more.
Sure.
But like I trust him and I wanted to close the deal.
Hey, you know what? Relationships go so far in this business.
Exactly, yeah.
Because he helped you in the past, gave you a little finder's fee for a deal you teed him up with. Really wasn't a deal for you per se. It was really more of a bird dog fee. But look what happened. It came back around. So that's a great lesson for anybody listening right now is you do good to other people in your market, they're going to remember you and they're going to want to do business with you again. So you reached out to this other investor that you knew and had kind of done some business with in the past. And he said, hey, Johan, I have confidence in this deal and that I can help you bring a buyer in. So you contracted it for $125,000. What did he sell it for?
So he sold it for $140,000. Yeah,
$145,000, right?
$145,000.
Okay, I'm looking at my notes here. $145,000. So he ended up making $7,000 and you made $11,000. So 7 and 11 is 18, but there was a $20,000 gross spread on here. What happened to that other $2,000?
Yeah, so about close to closing date, we found out that the city had a lien on the association. And then, so we had to extend the closing date to another like week or two. But anyway, the seller didn't want to come out of pocket more than $2,500 for the lien because she already is selling the property at a discounted price. Mm. So I told her that I would pay for the rest of the lien up to $10,000.
So what was the total lien amount? If she paid 25 and you paid two, it's probably about $4,500, give or take.
Yeah, just under. Yeah, just under $4,500.
Okay. So then you guys closed this deal. What was it? Tuesday, 2 days ago?
Yeah, the 31st.
And you got how much net proceeds?
Net straight to me was $11,000.
Yeah. So really though, quadruple win. In this scenario, again, congrats, man. This is awesome. So excited for you to get this first deal. It's going to help build your confidence. It's going to help build momentum. And now you have marketing money to put in to get that next deal. Hopefully the next two or three, right? So you bought it for $125,000 when the seller was able to get rid of a property. All right. You guys made $20,000 gross on this deal. Your partner made $7,000. That's a win. You made $11,000. That's a win. You even helped her pay some of the closing costs because there was a lien, making it a super win for her because she had to bring less to the table. And then you guys sold it to an end buyer And do you know what the end buyer was going to do? He sold it for 145. Win. So yeah, four
actually,
wins.
I met with the end buyer in person, showing her the property. She liked the property. She was like, I'll buy it right now. I'll close right now. So she was happy. Everything was working fine. Rentals in that property were ranging from 1500 to 2000. And then it was a pretty good deal.
It sounds like it. What was the ARV on the property?
ARV was somewhere around like 160, 190. It really depends on
totally. There's a couple different factors that are going to change. But so long story short, though, you got this at a massive discount. Let's say that the number was 175. Let's just average it. You got it at 125. So you got it at a discount, but you teed it up for this other investor and left meat on the bone for that person. So again, that's why everybody wins. Seller wins. You and your JV partner win. You guys both got paid and you got to help people. Amazing. And then that end buyer got the deal at 145, knowing that it's going to be worth roughly 175, maybe even a little bit more. So everybody won.
Yeah.
So did that buyer, did they buy it to move into it? Did they buy it to keep it as a rental? What was their plan or her plan?
Yeah, they were definitely going to rent it out. They paid for it cash. I'm guessing they're going to do the Burr method.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I know a thing or two about that.
I'm going to rent it out. Yeah.
I love it, man. All right, so let's just do some simple math, man. Real quick. You're 17, you're in high school, you're doing this on your lunch break and in the evenings when you get home from school. You've been at this for 5-6 months, followed up with this person 30 times, probably more than that, and we're patient and persistent. And that's really the two most important things when it comes to investing in real estate is to be patient and to be persistent, because you got to follow up with people and you got to follow up with them a lot in order to win them over and to win these deals. So that's amazing. You walked away with 11. Your partner walked away with 7. You helped a seller sell a deal. You helped an investor find their next rental. Everybody wins. So that $11,000 is a lot of money. And the average 17-year-old, probably making minimum wage or just over minimum wage, let's say $12 an hour. If you multiply $12 an hour by a 40-hour week, that's $480. You times $480 times 4, that's $1,920. It's basically $2,000 working at minimum wage or just above for an entire month. If you do that all summer, and you worked for 3 months at that wage, you would basically make about $6,000, and that's pre-tax. Damn. So post-tax, you'd make about $4,000. And you did it on one deal and made double what you would have made all summer working at a minimum wage job. Amazing. So anybody that's listening right now, if Johan can do this, you can do this. So, Johan, what were the biggest struggles that you found to do this deal? And what would be some lessons that you could share with the audience to help them if they are trying to also get their first deal?
So, the first one is the title company. So, I had the seller pick the title company because I didn't think much of it. But the title company was like very slow. I think it might have been the first time they worked with wholesale. I had to redo the contract of like with my JV partner and the buyer because they weren't accepting it. They said I had some weird terms that I had to put in. And then when we were waiting for the city to get the lien amount so we can close, the title company, he told me that they were waiting for the response from the city. And then I couldn't take it anymore. So I just called the city and then they gave me the response and we just closed. Like I was waiting. You have to be on top of the deal. You have to be calling, like making sure everybody's like doing this stuff. Like even the title company, like they were taking forever. If I just called them earlier, I could have closed earlier. So I could have let that deal slip away if I wasn't like on top of it.
Wow. That's a big lesson. So stay on top of your title company. And I can
pick a good title company, pick one that you trust and know, like reputable with wholesalers. So you don't want to get, the last thing you want is like to go through that. So.
Agreed, guys. Pick a good title company, make a relationship with them, follow up with them. Just because you send them a contract and an email doesn't mean that they're going to have it ready for you on the date that you want to close. You got to stay on top of them just like you stay on top of your sellers, just like you stay on top of your buyers. You got to coordinate it. You got to keep everybody in the loop. You got to make sure they know when their closing date is. You got to make sure that they know how to get there. All of these things. So I couldn't agree more. Johan, I couldn't agree more. So what were some of the lessons that you took away from completing this deal that the audience can take away and add value to them so they can help, you know, they can go get their first deal or maybe do more deals?
All right. So the second one is definitely discipline. So during the beginning, maybe like December, January, I was sending messages, but I wasn't like on top of following them. I'll just call this person. If they didn't answer, I would just be like, whatever. And then probably not even call them. But then I made like a promise to myself to every single day, I'll follow up with them. I'll leave a voicemail and I'll text them. And then I'll call them again tomorrow. Like you got to be on top of them. Mm. So then, yeah, you definitely want to be on top of them. Call them, build a relationship. If they don't want to sell now, they'll sell. They maybe want to sell in a month. It's just always good to have that relationship because you never know. What if they want to list their house on the market? You can get refer them to an agent that you trust, and then you get a little fee, or even just build a relationship with the realtor. So there's so many takeaways you can do with just building relationships
for people on the phone. I love that you say that because I teach this every single day. Make a friend. You don't need any special sales tips or tricks up your sleeve to do deals. If you can simply make a friend, you're in. And then you can help that person. And if they want to take a low cash offer, great. If they want an agent, you can make money that way too. You can refer them. So not only did you do your first wholesale, but you joint ventured it, which is awesome. And you piggybacked or, you know, used your joint venture's buyer's list and his connections to help get this deal done. You made 11 grand. He made 7 in the process. So next time you get a deal, if you bring it to him, you think he's going to be willing to work with you?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. He is. Amazing. Same thing with that title company. When you bring them the next contract, hopefully this time they actually start working on it right away and it requires a little less follow-up. But don't rely on that. Continue to follow up and to stay on all of these people. As
follow up is key.
Follow up is everything in this business, man. It is. Yeah. And the fact that you touched this person, I refer to it as touches, the number of times that you reached out to them, called them, text them, or maybe when they responded to your text or called you back. Those are all different touches. 30 plus. And here's the thing to all the listeners right now. That is not abnormal. That's normal, guys and girls. When we do deals, we're touching people 20, 30, 40, 50 times in some cases. And 4 to 5 months is not abnormal either.
Yeah.
If you do 10 deals, hopefully one or two of those will be quick. But the other 8 on average are going to take 30 touches in a couple months of follow-up. So I just really want to beat that in today. I really want to hit that hard because those are the lessons that I'm taking away from this, Johan. Follow-up is everything, and you got to be persistent. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say in general, like when you're talking on the phone, like when you start actually like caring about what their problems and like talking to them as a real person, you're going to see a lot more results. Like when you actually care for them and want to solve a problem, they're going to realize that and they're going to want to do business with you. Cause that's like, you can actually feel that. You can't fake that,
man. Like you I can't agree more. Making a friend. That's what it all comes down to. Actually caring. That's what I heard. Actually caring, actually making a friend. People can sense out when you're in it to make a $20,000. You guys made $18,000 gross wholesale fee on this one?
Yeah.
Even though you only got 11, I say only, that's a ton of money. But there was 18K gross that was created here. If you went into this transaction, into this initial call, into these follow-ups, just trying to make 18 grand, she would have sensed that in a heartbeat. And she would have probably not wanted to work with you. But you approached her in this situation as, hey, let me help you. You got this property that you're trying to get rid of. You're in the process of remodeling a bathroom. Your tenant's paying you 50% of what they should be. This is a headache for you. Let me help you. And you made a friend. And you got paid 11.
Also, like one more thing. So like when you're talking on the phone with the seller and then you don't really believe in your service, like truly, like you feel like that you're just like scamming them or you feel like you just are trying to make a quick buck off them, you're not going to be able to, what's it called, like really have that connection. Like you have to like really believe that you're the right choice for the seller, like that you'll be able to close and you'll be able to get them that money. Like you have to believe in your service in order to sell yourself and to sell your service.
Well said. Okay, let's talk about the fact that you're 17. Did the title company give you any trouble about signing a contract or doing any of that, not being 18?
Nobody knew.
Nobody knew. Nobody cared.
Yeah, nobody really
cared. And when you first came to me and said, I'm 17, is it going to matter? What did I tell you? No one's going to care.
So, yeah, with the seller and everything, nobody cares.
Nobody cared. Okay, very cool. So that doesn't matter. So what would you tell anybody else listening to this right now that's not 18, they're 16 or 15 or 17, and they're worried about getting into the wholesaling space? They're worried because of their age. What would you tell them?
Just do it. Like, you really literally nothing to lose. If it's only going to make you stronger, it's impressive that a 15-year-old would be going to buy a property from somebody else.
I'm thoroughly impressed with you buying and flipping this deal, making 18K gross, man. This is huge. So I agree.
Yeah.
Great advice.
It's mentality. So you got to have that like strong mentality that you're doing the right thing. So age doesn't really matter when you're doing the right thing. And you're
100%. Did you ever meet the seller, Johan?
Yeah, I met the seller the first time. She was showing me around the property and I was taking some pictures.
Did she ask you about your age?
No.
Perfect. How about when you met the buyer? You had to meet the buyer. How many times did you go to the property? Twice. So you went there to meet the seller originally. And then did you meet your JV partner, or did you meet the buyer that he found for you guys?
The buyer that he found for me.
Perfect. And you had to meet him at the property too, right?
Yeah, it was a her, but yeah.
Or her, I'm sorry. Two hers. How did it go on the second time you went when you met the buyer? Did they ask you how old you were?
No.
Nobody cares.
That's the
point I'm trying to make, guys. If you are not 18, you can do this business. In fact,
I went to the title company twice, once to drop off the earnest money check, and then once to pick up my check for the deal. And then I shook his hand and everything, talked to him. Nobody cares.
Amazing. You have got one under your belt, a great one. It was a quadruple win. Seller won, you won, JV partner won, and buyer won. And now you have built up even more confidence. You already had great confidence, but you got even more confidence. Now that persistence and patience are the two important ingredients in this game.
So absolutely.
What do you got next, man? What's the plan? You going to do some more marketing? You going to reinvest some of this money?
Yeah, right now. So I'm thinking of hitting Facebook. So I'm joining groups and then connecting with realtors, junk removal companies. I was doing something that doesn't require a lot of capital. Mm-hmm. And then eventually I'm starting thinking of creative ways that not a lot of my competition are doing, because it is super saturated in my market. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to think of like creative ways to do marketing.
Dude, I love it. There are hundreds of ways to do marketing. There is no one magic bullet. At the end of the day, don't keep your business a secret. You've heard me say this a ton. Don't keep your business a secret. Tell everybody. And I love where your head's at. Going and networking with, you know, junk removal companies. You have a small business doing what? Power washing?
Yeah, pressure washing.
Pressure washing. So you're already meeting homeowners whenever you're on those. So you're going to be giving them your information. You're going to be networking with these homeowners and letting them know that if they have any friends that have houses that they need to sell, or condos or apartments or whatever, that you're interested. And you're going to hit hard the networking approach. I think that's a great approach. In fact, the first couple deals I did when I got in this business full time about 8 years ago, I'd say the first 6-7 deals I did were from property managers, and they were from networking, just like you're planning on doing. So I think that's an amazing, awesome approach. Johan, thank you so much for coming on. Congratulations on your first wholesale deal, bro. This is phenomenal. 11K. You're still in high school, 17 years old, making deals, helping people. And you're sharing a lot of valuable information with me here today on this podcast that I am confident is going to give confidence to other people. And hopefully they're going to pick up on a couple gold nuggets aka persistence, aka patience. And those are definitely going to be needed in order to either get that first deal for them or hopefully do more and more deals like you're going to be doing soon.
Yeah. One more thing before you know, we end the podcast.
Yeah.
So if I just leave on like a goodbye note, so like what I would do is if you're like struggling to get a deal, like just stay disciplined and study your market. So every day, what I would do is study my market 1 hour a day. What are my competitors doing? What's the real estate market looking like in my area? And then I would study that for an hour and take notes, and then study wholesale, like the certain marketing channel that I'd be doing. I'd be rewatching videos and take notes. And then I would do my follow-up calls, do everything every single day. And then that's where your results, you have to do it every single day. So that's what my advice that I would give.
Every single day. I'm going to sum that up into a simple phrase: consistent, persistent action equals success. Literally. So you nailed it. You nailed it, Johan. You got to be consistent. You got to be persistent. And one thing that I really caught there that I do want to emphasize again real quick is that you said every day. Now, why would you recommend somebody do something every day versus just try to do it on the weekends?
If you do it every day, you're like drilling it into your skull, the back ends of your business and what's happening in the market.
Yep. And guess what? If you do it just on the weekends, and you got sick this weekend and you have a bachelor party next weekend and you got your sister's cousin's baby shower the weekend after, 3 weeks went by and you didn't do anything. But if you do it daily, guess what? You get sick, you miss a day or two. No big deal. You take it, you pick back up whenever you feel better. But if you do these activities daily, you are going to have a much, much better go at this. You're going to have a lot better consistency. It's not going to be as hard to be persistent with these sellers if you do these activities daily. Johan, thank you so much for sharing. And once again, congrats, my man. So proud of you. You're going to be knocking out tons and tons more deals in the future. I can tell just because you are here to stay. You're consistent. You are persistently following up. You're not afraid to continue to call people and to follow up with them. And that's really what this business is all about. It's making friends with people, letting them know you can help them. And guess what? You get paid handsomely when you do help them. But don't approach the situation like I'm going to do this to make money. Approach it like you're going to help them. And that's what you said. Those are your words. And I could not agree more. All right, man. Thanks so much for coming on. Guys, take after Johan. You can do this. Age doesn't matter.
You can do it. Let's do it.
You can do it. That's right. All right, Johan. Big congrats to you, brother. I am excited to continue to work with you and get you doing a deal a month or maybe even a couple a month soon. Keep it up. Stay persistent. And guys, take after Johan. Be persistent. And with that, signing off.
That's all for this episode. Your next step to success is to continue the conversation over at wholesalinginc.com by joining the mailing list, as well as get your chance to book a strategy session to learn the systems and become part of the tribe and work personally with one of our amazing coaches. We'll see you next episode with more ways to make you a fortune in wholesaling.